start this service in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us respond to God's greeting with the singing of Psalm 90, the stanzas 1, 6 and 8. This afternoon we will confess our undoubted Catholic faith with the Apostles' Creed. Afterwards we will sing Psalm 15, stanzas 1 to 3. Let everyone say with me in his heart, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us unite in prayer. Our Father in heaven, your word gives life. By your word, you raised us from our spiritual death and made us alive with Christ. By the preaching of the gospel, you also enlighten our whole life. And therefore it's with eager expectation that we are gathered before you to hear your word. We come before you with joy, for you have become our strength and our salvation. Father, we pray that this afternoon, when we listen to the instruction of the ninth commandment, that you will give us a humble and receptive heart, eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us to clearly discern what is your good and holy will for our lives. Renew our mind, sanctify our lives, that our whole life may be a thank offering, holy and well-pleasing to you. We confess, Father, that as often as we listen to the instruction of your law, we are put to shame. More and more we discover the greatness of our sin, how corrupt we are in ourselves, how filthy is our heart by nature. If it was not for your salvation, if it was not for our mediator, your Son Jesus Christ, we would not even be able to listen to your law. We would rather not hear it. But we thank you, Father, that you do not leave us in our sin and corruption. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins and for the sanctification of your Spirit, who unites us to Christ and restores us to a new life of obedience. And therefore, we are eager to be instructed. Teach us the way of life that we may walk in it. Give us hearts to love what is good and to hate what is evil. Make us wise unto salvation. Yes, Father, teach and instruct us by your word and spirit that we may live. And let your name be hallowed in our midst. For yours is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You have the opportunity for the collection, which is for the needy. And afterwards, let us sing from Psalm 50, stanzas 8, 9, 10, and 11. Thank you. This afternoon we will deal with the ninth commandment, and you shall not give false witness against your neighbor. And in this regard we will read three passages, first from Deuteronomy 19, then also Matthew 12 and James chapter 3. First, from Deuteronomy chapter 19, and they will read the verses 15 to 21. One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits by the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. If a false witness rises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who serve in those days. And the judges shall make careful inquiry. And indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear. And hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Your eyes shall not pity. Life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And then we turn to Matthew chapter 12. There we read the verses 33 to 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And then James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. James 3, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So far, the reading of God's word. We turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 43. What is required in the ninth commandment? I must not give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor condemn or join in condemning anyone rashly and unheard. Rather, I must avoid all lying and deceit as the devil's own works, under penalty of God's heavy wrath. In court and everywhere else, I must love the truth, speak and confess it honestly, and do what I can to defend and promote my neighbor's honor and reputation. After the proclamation of God's word, we will respond with Psalm 101, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we read that passage where the Apostle James calls the tongue an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. He says, we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle also the whole body. includes all believers when he says we all stumble. Not one of us is able to bridle his tongue completely. Yes, we all stumble in many things, but especially with our tongue. And this afternoon, in the explanation of the ninth commandment, we will deal especially with the way in which we use our tongue. We confess here in Lord's Day 43 that God commands us in the ninth commandment that we must not give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, not condemn or join in condemning anyone rashly or unheard. We must avoid all lying and deceit as the devil's own works under penalty of God's heavy wrath. And furthermore, we have to defend and promote our neighbor's honor and reputation. Yes, the ninth commandment addresses especially the use and the bridling of our tongue. As we read, the Lord, through his servant James, describes the tongue of the natural man as unruly, full of deadly poison, a fire kindled by hell. And brothers and sisters, such is also our tongue by nature. However, our Lord Jesus died also for the sins of our tongue, and to give us a new tongue, holy and sanctified. He instructs us in this commandment how to use our tongue, no longer for destruction, but to speak the truth without deceit and to edify one another in love and truth. How much damage has been caused in the church by gossip and slander? How much destruction has been caused by the unbridled tongue of men and women also in the church? Dear congregation, our Lord Jesus made atonement also for our tongue, and he sanctifies it by his word and spirit. The Holy Spirit uses the instruction also of this commandment to sanctify our tongue. He sanctifies our tongue and he gives us a new tongue by writing the words of this commandment on the tablets of our heart. And thus, with eager expectation and with humble submission, let us listen to the Lord's instruction as it comes to us in the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness. We will note first that we have to speak the truth, and second, that we need to restrain our tongue. In the first place, we note that we have to speak the truth. You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Exodus 23, verse 1. We are not allowed to tell lies or to spread a false report about our neighbor. But as is the case with all God's commandments, it reaches to the depths of our heart and mind. It exposes the very thoughts and intents of our heart. The Lord addresses our sin at its very root. God demands in his law that we be holy in heart and mind and soul. He does not first deal about improving our outward behavior, but first of all, to clean the inside of the cup, that the outside of the cup may become clean also. And thus also in this commandment, we are instructed that we may not even think evil of our neighbor. An evil tongue comes from an evil mind. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let no one of you think evil in his heart against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. Zechariah 8, verse 16 and 17. Note how the prophet explains this commandment. You may not even think evil against your neighbor in your heart. There's also the transgression of the ninth commandment starts in the heart and mind. If you think evil of your neighbor, you will also speak evil of him. The transgression does not start with our tongue, but with the evil thoughts of our heart, to which our tongue simply gives expression. Otherwise, it would have been easy enough just to cut off our tongue and be rid of at least one destructive force in our life. But no, also the transgression of the ninth commandment flows from the heart, as our Lord Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12, verse 34. And therefore the prophet says, let no one of you think evil in his heart against your neighbor. And furthermore, as is the case with all God's commandments, it deals in the negative with what is forbidden, and at the same time commands positively that we do what is right. In a negative, we are forbidden to spread false reports and lies against our neighbor. In the positive, we are commanded to speak the truth. The Apostle Paul summarizes it by saying, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Over against lies and deceit, we are to love and speak the truth. So then, how does this commandment regulate our daily life? Dear congregation, for some reason, we like to discuss other people. That is a very dangerous habit. Because the moment we start to discuss other people, we tend somehow to evaluate them and to judge them. We tend to sort other people in certain categories in order to place ourselves in a certain relation to them, either positive or negative. We like to label people and to tag them. This one is like this, and that one is like that. It is exactly then that this commandment is most often transgressed. For we tend to do this labeling and categorizing in a careless manner, to judge others rashly and lightly and unheard, as if our neighbor, as if he's the honor of his name, may be played around with. Proverbs says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Proverbs 22 verse 1. Your neighbor's name is worth more than what money can buy. And if your brother's name is his most precious possession, then in truth and love we need to defend and promote his reputation. But it's amazing with what carelessness we tend to discuss other people. You will hardly find anyone who is not infected with this horrible disease. And furthermore, God does not only hate all gossip and slander, he also hates the ear that listen to gossip. We are by nature inclined to love gossip. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Proverbs 18 verse 8. By nature, we are eager to listen to gossip. It goes down like tasty treats. Dear congregation, also in this regard, the Lord sanctifies both our tongue and our ears. He gives us a new heart to flee these things and to show love to our neighbor in all truth and faithfulness. So next time at the dinner table, when someone starts to discuss other people in this dangerous way, we should stop each other. Say, no, I don't want to hear that. Or, be careful. Let us flee from this sin. Yes, who of us is not guilty? And if we know our sin, let us also confess it before the Lord and ask forgiveness. Let us flee from gossip and slander and close our ears to the stories of talebearers, that both our tongue and our ears may be sanctified by the instruction of this commandment. For no slanderer or backbiter will inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 10. Now, slander is not only to tell lies about others, Slander is also when you speak evil of others by revealing true facts when you should have kept quiet. Sometimes love requires of us to keep silent even when you have all the facts correct. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Proverbs 11 verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Proverbs 17 verse 9. When it's not necessary to reveal someone's faults, love requires of us to keep silent and to conceal a matter. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Proverbs 10 verse 12. Even when you have all the facts correct, you are still not allowed to be a talebearer or walk around speaking evil of your neighbor. The Lord says this very explicitly in His law. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people. Leviticus 19 verse 16. You may not be a news station to spread tales about others. At the same time, we also have to guard against a misunderstanding of this commandment. It does not say that you shall not bear witness against your neighbor. It says you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And while it's true that love covers and conceals the sins of others, this does not rule out church discipline. Christ testified openly against the scribes and Pharisees when he called them hypocrites, whitewashed tombs, serpents, brood of vipers. Indeed, gave strong witness against them and exposed their deceit. The same way the apostles gave clear witness against the false teachers. The apostle Paul says, their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort who strayed concerning the truth. 2 Timothy 2 verse 17. He openly testifies against them. He calls them by their name and he condemns their message. For the sake of God's holy name, for the sake of the preservation of His church, He speaks up and testifies against these men who twist God's word. Thus we need discernment, when to speak and when to keep silent. But as we are all inclined to speak rather than to keep silent, we ought to restrain ourselves and guard against condemning anyone rashly or unheard. Even in our minds, we may not cherish evil suspicions against someone while the facts are lacking. Dear congregation, let us not twist one another's words. Let us not misrepresent one another. Let us not rashly condemn one another and not swallow the tales of talebearers like tasty trifles. Let us flee these things as they come from the devil himself, who is the father of lies. Let our tongue not be an instrument of destruction, or in the words of the Apostle James, a fire lit from hell, but let our tongues be sanctified instruments of grace to edify one another in love and truth. There's also another aspect of this commandment that we need to heed. We note in the second place that we need to restrain and bridle our tongue. It is necessary that we learn to count our words. Scripture warns us, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 10 verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. It means in general, if you speak a lot, you will sin a lot. It is sinful to leave our mouth open without restraint. because we still have a sinful nature. And therefore we constantly have to be on our guard and check our tongue and restrain it, or else we will abound in sin. It is especially in the book of James that we find the image of bridling our tongue. We have to put a bridle on our tongue to restrain and control our tongue. Now, a bridle is used to steer horses. We put a bit or a bridle in a horse's mouth to control it. When he instructs us to bridle our tongue, it means that we should hold our tongue in check. We are to hold a tight rein over our tongue. And the opposite, of course, is to give loose rein to your tongue. The Lord says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. James 1 verse 26. Now that is a very strong statement. He says, if your tongue is not bridled, all your religion is worthless. If someone thinks that he serves the Lord, but he does not bridle his tongue, he deceives himself. Then he's not serving the Lord, even though he may think so. How does the apostle come to this statement? In James 1, we are told how important it is that we are swift to hear, slow to speak. James 1, verse 19. In chapter 2, he mentions that our very words are judged by God's law. In chapter 3, he speaks about the destructive force of our tongue. And in chapter 4, he again says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge your brother? Chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. There he warns against the tendency to make ourselves a judge of others and to judge one another according to our own opinions. And how often this happens? It happens nearly as often as we discuss other people. When you say, I think he's like this or she's like that, your I think is a judgment on your brother or sister. Your opinion sharing is a dangerous thing and not without force. Yes, if someone loves to discuss other people and makes this his hobby, he loves transgression. In general, Scripture teaches us that we may not be chatterboxes giving free rein to our tongue. If someone loves to speak a lot, he will surely sin a lot. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Dear congregation, restrained lips, a bridled tongue, is part of our new life in Christ. Unrestrained lips and an unbridled tongue is part of our old sinful life. We may easily think that the sins of our tongue is not as serious, that our deeds are more important, but that our words are of less significance, that our life and our actions can be well-pleasing to the Lord while our tongue remains unbridled. But Scripture says this is not possible. If someone does not bridle his tongue, all his religion is worthless. He may seem to be religious. He may gather with God's people in a church service and join in prayer and song to worship the Lord. He may be an active member, do many good things. But if his tongue is unbridled, all his service to the Lord is in vain. Then his religion is useless. God will not accept his service or his worship. That is a very strong warning. A tongue that gossips and slanders, a tongue that speaks evil of others, does not belong to Christ. No backbiter, no slanderer will inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9. Our Lord Jesus Christ died also to cleanse our tongue from the poison and the bitterness. He gives us new lips to edify one another in truth. The Apostle Paul describes the natural man in Romans 3 and says, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That is all true of the natural man. But it is not a description of saints in Christ. While we all stumble in word, and it's yet impossible to be a slanderer and a true believer at the same time. It's impossible to be sanctified in Christ and yet to have an unbridled tongue that defames and judges and slanders and condemns your fellow brethren. A tongue lit by the fire of hell is not a member of Christ. A tongue full of gossip and slander and evil speaking may not join Christ's congregation in praising God. Such a tongue does not only make all religion worthless, it's also an instrument of the devil that works destruction in the church among brethren. An unbridled tongue has the same effect in the body of Christ as the poison of vipers injected into the body. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit could not have used stronger language to condemn an unruly and unbridled tongue when he calls it a fire from hell. How then ought we to bridle our tongue? Or which means does the Holy Spirit use to bridle our tongue? The Holy Spirit uses the instruction of this commandment to sanctify our tongue. God's Spirit does not sanctify us by a mystic experience, by bypassing the law. He sanctifies our tongue by the very instruction of this commandment. He sanctifies our tongue by writing exactly the words of this commandment on the tablet of our heart. He does this by giving you a receptive heart to heed this commandment. He gives you an open ear to hear and understand, and a heart to obey. What then should our reaction be when we hear God's demands in this commandment? When we realize our sins, when we realize our transgression also of the ninth commandment, shall we say, that's right, we are all sinners, but never mind, our sins are all forgiven? No, that is not the reaction of a true believer. Whenever God's law exposes our sins, there's only one correct response: to repent of our sins and to pray for forgiveness. We are to flee to Christ and to seek forgiveness. Not once, not twice, but as often as God's word addresses us and exposes our sins, and as often as he opens our eyes and ears to realize our sin, our whole life long we are to crucify our flesh, daily repenting of our sins with heartfelt sorrow, fleeing to Christ, praying for forgiveness and sanctification. We are not instructed to say, it is no use, my tongue is untamable, just accept me as I am. I will just fold my arms and wait until the Holy Spirit gives me another tongue. No, when the Spirit of Christ transforms our tongue, he does this through the Word. Even this word which is being preached to you. When the Spirit teaches us to bridle our tongue, he's in fact already bridling our tongue when we hear the instruction and take it to heart. Yes, the Spirit transforms us to the image of God, and he sanctifies us not by taking us on a detour, bypassing the word or bypassing the law, but by writing this very same law on the tablets of our heart through the preaching and instruction of God's word. And therefore, knowing the royal law that we shall love our neighbor as ourselves, let us not be hearers only who deceive ourselves, but truly repent and obey. In our own strength we cannot, but we have been raised with Christ to a new life of obedience. There is forgiveness of all our sins in His name. And He has promised us His Spirit to sanctify our hearts and minds, yes, also our tongue, to the glory of our Father. Let us then heed this commandment and pray, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Amen. The announcements from Consistory. Consistory will meet with deacons on Monday, 7:30 p.m. Following the elections, Consistory has appointed the following brothers to the office of elder: Brothers A. Bosveld, R. Postuma, J. van der Plas, and Deacon Brother S. Evans. If no lawful objection is brought forward by the 16th of November, ordination will take place, the Lord willing, on Sunday the 22nd of November in the morning service. Home visits, Family D. Hart, Wednesday 7:15 p.m. Family H. Lambers, Thursday 7:30 p.m. Family Q. Slope, Thursday 7:30 p.m. So far the announcements. Congregation, let us unite in prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we confess our sins before you. How often we sin with our lips, how easily do we hurt and harm our neighbor with our words. Also for this sin we pray, forgive us, Father. Forgive us as we have also forgiven those who sinned against us. Yes, Father, help us also to forgive one another as Christ forgave us. Give us hearts to love you and to love our neighbor, that we may seek to edify one another in love and in truth, and not speak evil of one another. Father, we are in need of your sanctifying grace. We pray, make us new, Father. Give us sanctified lips and help us to bridle our tongue. Direct the thoughts of our heart, that we may not even think evil of one another, but seek each other's good. We thank you for your salvation, that you do not leave us in our state of total corruption, but that you have made your dwelling in us by your Spirit to teach and guide us, to sanctify and to renew us, yes, to join us to Christ your Son, that we may live in him and with him to the glory of your name. Father, bless the communion of saints in this congregation and keep us from sin. Bless the collection that was for the needy. Bless the ministry of mercy. Bless the elders and their work. Bless the minister of your word, Reverend Anderson. Father, bless this congregation that we may be built up by your word. Father, we pray also for those who are suffering under trials and hardships. We continue to remember Brother and Sister Grant and Lisa Bosveld after the passing away of their daughter. Father, we pray that you will comfort them. Comfort them with the comfort of the gospel. We thank you for the glorious promises that you have given us, for the hope of the resurrection, when that day when the graves will open, when the dead will rise, when we will be glorified with new bodies, where there will be no death or pain or sorrow. Father, we pray that you will comfort them as you alone are able, and also bless them in the communion of saints where we support and encourage one another. Father, we thank you that we are part of your congregation by your grace. We thank you for this day of rest in which we could gather together once more. Thank you for the instruction of your word and for the gospel of salvation by which we could again be strengthened and equipped for life in your service. We thank and worship you, our God and Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing from Psalm 26, the stanzas 2, 3, and 7.
I step as of a cherry.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.